Hi, everybody, and welcome to True Stories of Tinseltown. And this is Grace with you. And I am going to start a new thing with every guest that I talk to on the show. And luckily for this guest, the wonderful, handsome David Selby, I am asking him these questions that I can't even answer myself, except for Barbara Stanwyck. Okay, David.
Now, wait a minute. What am I, the guinea pig here?
Yes, you are. And say hello to our audience. I'm so thrilled to have you on. I really am.
Hello. Hello, everybody. Please excuse whatever answers I come up with here. What are you going to ask me?
I only told you. I gave you a hint. And he was just chomping dark chocolate in my ear.
Yeah, that's right. Barbara Stanwyck?
Well, she was my favorite. She was my favorite.
Yeah.
But I'm asking you, what was your favorite classic film? And I have so many that I really love that I couldn't choose one. So if you have like a circle of 10 and you had, or five, which one would you choose?
Oh my God, my God. What are we doing here? Listen to that. Do you remember a movie? Let me sing. I go back to my childhood. Shane, do you remember Shane? Come back, Shane.
Come back, Shane. Come back, Shane. Yes, I do.
Isn't that Alan Ladd? Alan Ladd, Jr.?
Yes. Who was in it? You know that guy, Jack Palance.
Jack Palance.
He always gave me the creeps.
Jack, he was wonderful. Are you kidding? Holly Palance, his daughter. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether you know her or not.
I do.
Holly is terrific. And Casablanca.
Of course.
All those things with a lot of bogey, those things. David Lean made a couple of wonderful, what's that one, David Lean's film, the romantic,
Did he make The Innocents?
Nah, I don't know about The Innocents. I don't know.
Brief Encounter.
A Brief Encounter.
Right.
There you go. Yes. And I loved Brief Encounter. Isn't that on the train and everything?
Yes. It makes me cry. I have it on my DVR. But you know what? I always thought the doctor was a cad. I don't think he really loved her. And I thought her husband was a really sweet guy. And she was just bored to tears. And that was my theory on that. But my favorite romance is Random Harvest. Love it. Love it.
How about some Betty Davis stuff?
I love Betty. I just saw this really good one called The Big Lie, which was with George Brent, and I did a podcast with the guy who wrote a biography on what's her face? She was in, I love her. What's her name? Purple Diaries. Mary Astor. Yes, so she was in those movies as well. And there was this one with Betty Davis, and I thought she was as cute as she ever looked. Hardly any makeup. She played her role so.
It
was like natural, no over-the-top dramatics, no nothing. And it was a really good film. But I love her.
How about Scarlett O'Hara?
Vivian Leigh was gorgeous.
Vivian Leigh and Gone With the Wind. These are all classic kinds of things. And maybe they're the more obvious. But there was a film. What was that film called? Trainspotting? It was a good film that this director did.
Trainspotting, the one in England when there were junkies and barfing all over the place.
And then there's some of those like Julie, what was Julie's last name, the English actress?
Christie?
Julie Christie, when she did that film with Omar Sharif?
No. Oh, yeah. You mean Laura's theme? Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do, do, do. What's the name of that song?
I don't know.
It's a hugey. It's a huge.
Yeah.
Dr. Zhivago.
Dr. Zhivago. Got
ding,
it.
Ding, ding,
and
ding,
then
ding,
I
ding.
Would be remiss if I did not. You asked me that, so I'm thinking. You think of all the people like Joan Bennett.
I loved her.
Loved her.
Scarlet Street.
Huh?
Scarlet Street.
Yeah. You know, Joan also tested for Gone with the Wind.
Did she? I think everybody did.
Well. And besides Joan Bennett, then, who else? During, you know, the classic movies. My mind is just total. Well, you said five, but
what
there
about
are tons?
Yeah.
What about who?
Now, who's your favorite actor? I read Jimmy Stewart you liked a lot.
Jimmy Stewart, I love.
Is
are
he
you
your,
kidding?
Would you say he's your favorite actor?
Well, I
classic
love Jimmy
movie?
Stewart.
Yeah.
And I ran into him a couple of times. That was nice. Jimmy Stewart, you know, what is the movie about Washington, D.C.?
Oh, Mr. Smith Goes to Washington.
Mr. Smith Goes to Washington. Oh, my God. Let's see. Who? I mean, of men?
Yes.
Spencer Tracy.
He was a great actor.
Spencer Tracy.
Gary Cooper, did you like him?
Gary Cooper, I liked all those guys. You know, I love, when I was a kid growing up, Earl Flynn, you know, liked all the swashbuckling guys. Who played Robin Hood?
That was him.
He played Robin Hood?
Yes, and Olivia de Havilland played his maid
Olivia
Mary.
Olivia de Havilland, yeah. Olivia de Havilland.
Did you meet her?
She just, no, but she's still going
That's
strong.
Thought.
In fact, she just filed a lawsuit that the judge didn't allow, and I think they should have allowed it.
What was it?
It was a lawsuit about how she was portrayed in a movie called Feud.
Oh, yeah. It was a miniseries. I got a kick out of it. I liked it.
I love the actresses, but I think she had a right if she feels
of course.
That she was misportrayed or, you know, or whatever. I don't know. Anyway, Olivia de Havilland.
Olivia
Joan Fontaine.
Isn't that funny, those Feud and Sisters? That's one thing I'd like to get somebody on the show to tell me the whole scoop about that. That's such a shame that they were never, you know, they could never be close. And they were so close in age. There's always that.
Yeah, yeah. But I love, do you like, I like Helen Mirren.
Helen Mirren, I love her.
Helen Mirren, I loved, you know, all of those. And there's so many, good ones. I mean, if you... they're just a lot of good people. Viola Davis, have you seen her?
Oh, of course. I love Viola Davis.
Oh, my God. So, you know, every time I go, I'm always, you know, so I'm a moviegoer, you know. Or
new
watcher.
Moviegoer.
I haven't seen anything for a while, though, I must admit.
I don't like going to the movies anymore because it's cell phones. Talk out loud.
Yeah, but you can stream a lot of movies, too.
That's what I do. I stream.
And I watch, there's some interesting, if you watch certain kinds of things, some Australian actors, you know, Guy Pearce.
Oh, I like him.
Lovely. A couple gals over there. Anyway, there's lots of series out of Australia and England, but there's a Dr. Blake series out of Australia. They're in England, of course. They have
Benedict
Sherlock
Cumberbatch.
Holmes. Yeah, he did the Sherlock Holmes series with the fellow who was in. Did you see Black Panther?
Mm-mm.
Ah.
Did you see it?
It's a fun ride. And it was a fun ride. And the guy that plays Watson in that film was in Black Panther. He's terrific. He's the, you know,
Yeah,
anyway,
I never saw that.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, so yeah, we know what you like here, and we're just going to go.
Oh, no, that, listen, that's, you know, there's some lovely Italian films.
Oh, there's a lot of great films out there that I love.
Yeah.
But I don't
The Last Picture Show. Do you remember The Last Picture Show?
Sure. It was just on TCM during, you know, April, March, 30 Days of Oscar. With some great actors. Cloris Leachman was great in that. I was glad that she got the Best Supporting Actress Award on that. I thought she was fab.
Did you see Three Billboards?
Not yet, but that's on my streaming list.
Yeah, yes. The actor, I mean, she's wonderful.
Frances McDormand.
Frances McDormand. I thought they were all terrific. And Splash of Water, all of those films, which company called, well, it's now with, they're going to be, I guess, I don't know, Disney Searchlight. They do good things.
There's one I really want to watch, and it's, it's with Annette Bening, and she plays Gloria Graham in the last years of her life, and it's something in Liverpool or something.
Right,
and I haven't
right.
seen that yet, but I can't wait till that comes on stream.
I haven't seen. I started it, and I couldn't watch it also because I had to leave. It was because they had a disc of it, The Post, with Meryl Streep and
Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah. And anyway.
Okay, so let's get
loads and loads of films.
Yes, and I'm looking at all your stuff, all your IMDb's. You've done good.
Oh, that's frightening.
No, it's not. You did great. I'm looking at all this stuff.
Oh yeah. Well, the film with who did I do that with? One of those early films, Up the Sandbox with Barbara.
Oh my gosh.
Streisand. Now Barbara had done the film with
Peter Sarrazin.
Based on, oh God, what was that?
Ryan O'Neill. What's up, Doc?
Right before Paper Chase, or what was that? No, she wasn't in Paper Chase.
No, that was like Lottie Doo movie. Yeah.
Right. Anyways, I can't come up with Funny Girl. She did based upon,
Fanny Bryce.
She was terrific. Barbara did Funny Girl and, you know, all that. But she did a film called Up the Sandbox, which I had the, good fortune to be in.
Did she get to choose you or to veto you or any of that stuff? Because she was becoming a big star at that point.
But I remember going out to, I was in a play in New York, which was a hit, which was a good play called Sticks and Bones by David Rabe. And if you know the actress Lily Rabe.
Oh, I love her. And her mom was Jill Clayburgh. Yeah.
Her mom is Jill Clayburgh. And Jill and I had worked together a couple of times, but we did, we were up at Stratford together at American Shakespeare Festival. And then David wrote a play called Sticks and Bones that we did at Joe Papp's Public Theater. But it was while I was doing that. And then they got married. Jill and David met after that. And then they, and Jill was another special.
You liked her a lot?
In person. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I liked her as a person.
She seemed nice and down to earth. Did you like Barbara as a person?
Did I like Barbara? I loved Barbara, if you want to know the truth.
I have to say, the clip I saw that I put, you don't go on Facebook, right?
No.
I hate it. I want to get
off of it. I've never been on Facebook.
But I want to tell you, this lovely guy, Wally Helvey, asked two questions. He is like, he runs the Dark Shadow Appreciation page, so I said I'd ask you. And he said, if you ever came on Facebook, he would love you to join it. So that's what I'm asking you. And he also wanted to know, did you ever, ever really, truly think when you were in West Virginia that you would be as successful as you were?
Well, I appreciate that you think I've been successful. And
you have been successful.
I've gotten to do it. Yeah, I've gotten to do a few things. Yeah. When I was in West Virginia, I was a dreamer. And I knew I was going to have to leave to do whatever I was going to do. Mm-hmm. And eventually I left West Virginia, went to Illinois for a short period of time.
I love that story. You brought Chip along. She got a gig and got 10 That's bucks right. more than you. And the guy said you were the worst teacher he ever saw. That was great.
But but out of that, you know, I became acquainted with Abraham Lincoln. And I know it sounds crazy, but I still do projects for Ford's Theater.
I know
Washington,
you do.
D.C.
That's where you met Obama and Michelle.
Yeah.
Was
and
it?
We've done, yes.
Was that the night that it reopened after the grand?
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And then... and then later, let's see, well, that was, yeah, I did, I was back at Ford's Theater, and then we're working on another project. I shouldn't talk about it because you never know. It's being written
or
will be written.
Yeah.
And anyway, so that was all terrific. But going back to Sticks and Bones and Barbara's Up the Sandbox, Irv Kirshner, who directed one of the George Lucas films in that trio or Empire Strikes Back. Was it that one? Yeah. Anyway, Irv was the director. I met him in New York while I was doing the play, Sticks and Bones. And he came to see the play, and he said, well, I don't know about this. It's a little rough, you know. But he took some Polaroids of me, and he finally pointed to one and said, that's Paul. And I said, Paul was the character in the film. So one thing led to another, and I'm still doing the play at night, matinees, and they asked me to come to California to meet Barbara. I did very quickly, and a quick trip out, and I met Barbara at 20th Century Fox, and then I came back to New York and continued in the play.
Right.
A good actor named Drew Snyder was my understudy at that time, and he had taken over for a couple of shows. Anyway, I'm back and I'm doing the show, and all the reports back, or any report I got back, the agent said, well, they said you didn't talk very much.
That you were shy. You said
that. I was shy, whatever. Anyway, but then they did ask me to do the film, and so I decided that was a thing I should do. And my friend Joanne Woodward and her husband Paul Newman came to see one of the last performances I did of Sticks and Bones. And Paul said to me, don't let him eat you up out there.
Especially Barbara. She went after every leading man she had.
He said, you get back here. And I said, I will. I promise. So. And then Joanne and I later, of course, worked together.
And you became friends with her mamacita because she loved Dark Shadows.
Did.
See, I read the book, the book.
Oh, my God, you read the book. Anyway, but I had a lovely time with Barbara. I
got to say, I put this clip up on my True Stories of Tinseltown. And
she just cares. The only thing hard about Barbara, not hard. She cares so much. That's Barbara.
She's a perfectionist.
She's a perfectionist.
To the ultimate max. But I have to say.
And she has a shyness about her.
I bet.
I was so glad when she and James Brolin got together.
Oh, I love him. They are such a cute couple. I hope they stay forever.
Yeah.
Did you know him?
No.
I just always thought he was really a handsome dude. And boy, they look very in love, and I hope they still are. But what I want to ask, I mean, this clip, David, OMG. How do you do it? So you sort
what
of...
What clip?
Well, I'm going to send it to you because you don't go on Facebook. It's you. I was trying to find one on Up the Sandbox. And Barbara is a bored housewife, and she has this active imagination. And then she goes to your office, and you're kind of a cad, right? And you're having an affair with the secretary. And then...
What?
Yeah, that's what she says.
No, she's imagining that.
Oh, and but
she's imagining.
Did she
that.
Imagine that love scene? I was like,
yes.
Fire hose, hubba hubba hubba. I'm like, how do you do that?
Scene,
yes, yeah. That was hot, man. I'm like, hubba. My glass is steamed. I got the vapors. It's everything.
Right.
It's really good. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
So you did that. It's funny. So you were in school. You know, a lot of what you said made me laugh because I did the same things. When you would come to New York maybe for 1 or 2 days or whatever,
you
would overpack like me.
Yeah.
Like, what do you need? You got like this, you know, a case that could go on the QE2, right? I do the same thing for an overnight visit. I've been better. But also I loved that you used to walk down 49th Street because that's where Katharine Hepburn lived.
You know, 49th on the east side. I don't know if it was in the 40s or the 30s. I can't remember.
Actually, I knew because when I was 20, I worked at a outdoor cafe in the spring and summer called La Maganette. And everybody said, that's Katharine Hepburn's house. And I walked by, and it was a lovely townhouse. And it was on 50th between 3rd and 2nd.
Oh, well, I knew it was on the east side.
You got
it.
You just one street
remember.
Off. But isn't that funny? What did we expect? You know?
Yeah.
Come on in.
But she was just, you know, a little legend with all that stuff and her film and everything. I just thought, oh, God, the movie star.
Isn't
is,
it
right?
cool? Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then,
but,
what? Go ahead.
No. I was thinking of all the women. When I was doing all the actresses, like Jackie Bissett and Candy Bergen.
Sounds like you're doing all the actresses when you were working with all the actresses.
Right. Now with, what was it called, Rich and Famous.
I love that movie.
And how terrific and the work that they had all done. I've been a friend, a fan of, and a watcher of Candy's father.
Oh, did you?
And yeah, I loved him as a kid and all his work.
What was his puppet?
Yeah.
Do you remember?
I don't know. I can't remember. I should, but I don't.
And that movie is, it was a remake of Old Acquaintances with Bette Davis.
With Bette Davis.
And Miriam Hopkins.
Yeah.
And they didn't like each other because Betty, the trollop, had an affair with Anatole Leavitt, who was Miriam's husband. Can you blame her? I'd want to pop her too. But you have some good stories about that. And the most amazing part of this, guys, is that George Cukor, he was going to direct Gone with the Wind. He was known as a woman's director. And I believe Clark Gable said, I can't work with him.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the story.
Mm-hmm.
And George said, he did tell me once, and I said I couldn't direct men. You know,
he said that?
So, yeah, to me. Yeah. Ah. I like George. You know, it's what's not look at their lives they had and you talk about success. I mean,
how old was he when you worked with him?
I have no idea, Grace. I have no idea.
I don't ask people's ages either. I just kind of
I have no idea. I just know that the story about Gone with the Wind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But,
so he was good to you guys.
Oh, yeah.
And he had fun. It sounded like you had a lot of fun on that show.
We did. Yeah. And George, George came in to that film. The first director decided to not do it. And then George came in. And anyway, I went in. I went back to meet him. I met him up in New York, just down from Columbus Circle, right in there, some hotel right there. And George said, I said, well, I thought you should have your own. You could, you have the option now of recasting or whatever. So I went in to meet him, and he said, I like your hair. My hair was much longer then.
I liked your hair too.
Yeah. So he said, hey, I like that. So anyway, it all worked out, and I did the film.
And the gals were swell.
Yeah, yeah. Jackie and Candy, sure.
Well, you know, I saw this movie probably in 2005 with my best friend at the time. And we looked at each other. It was just before I got married, actually. A little after that. And she said, that's going to be us on New Year's when we're old. And I said, maybe. And could be worse. Maybe we're all alone. So I didn't cry about that. But you did tell some stories about, what was it, George Cukor pushing his way through a filled commissary.
Let's see. What was that? Oh, I know. We ate over at, on the Fox lot at the commissary there, but they were having a board meeting. I think it was a board meeting. Yeah. Jackie would probably remember. Anyway, they were having a board meeting, so we said, well, let's just eat out here in the, you know, in the big dining area. There were seats out there, plenty available. And George said, no, we're going to sit in here. So whoever, associate head or the second head, I can't remember, he was in there, and he said, George, don't worry, we'll make room for you. So they did. They scooted the tables around or whatever and brought in an extra table and chairs, and we sat there. And then that's when Cary Grant, as Cary Grant was leaving, he came over and said hello to George, and George introduced us. And we thought that was nice. And that was, you know, but it was a good time. And then I remember when Liz Taylor, her driver, a car, brought her around to the soundstage. And I happened to be coming out of the soundstage. And she says, is George in there? And I said, yes, he's still in there. So I held the door open for her, and in she went. I thought that was my... glance of what Hollywood royalty.
Yes. In 80, I'm trying to think, was she still doing movies? Or was she like with that, I don't know, senator, where she really got fat?
I don't know. No.
She wasn't fat?
No. But that's, you know. Anyway, she went in, and she and George had a nice visit.
How was Cary? Did he say hello to him? Was he nice?
Cary? I do remember a story. Yeah, he was nice. I even, years later, I rode up with him to Vegas on a private plane for Lorimar, because Merv Adelson's father was being, who had passed away, but he was being honored in Vegas because they were so philanthropic.
Yeah.
And helped with a hospital there. But Cary Grant, somebody told me a story. I think I repeated it. That he said Cary said about George, or George said, no, George said about Cary, yes, to us, we were sitting there, and he says, the only reason he goes to the Hollywood tracks because they feed him lunch.
But what was he doing, right?
And then, I don't know. And then, I don't know, but then somebody told me that Cary said about George, the only thing he ever was is a script supervisor. That's all.
little tiffs we go through.
Anyway, but they may have just been, you know, having fun with each other. I don't know.
So there is quite the alumni from your school, Don Knotts.
Don Knotts.
And he ignored you, like when you said hi to him or something?
No, No, he didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
But that was nice. But I, you know, introduced myself, and he's terrific. They even have in Morgantown, my hometown, that used to be called, God knows they may have changed it by now, the Don Knotts Boulevard.
Wow.
It was named after Don.
Well, he was...
But yeah, his where he grew up was only about two blocks from my house where I grew up.
Well, he did pretty darn good considering that he was a character actor. And
he
then he ended up
terrific.
Making... I loved The Incredible Mr. Limpet. I loved The Ghost of Mr. Chicken. I bought them for my nephews, and we would sit there and laugh and laugh and laugh like they're goofy on. And... they still love them to this day. And I also used to send them all the Robin Hood stuff. And then they used to sword fight. And I'd be like, oh, no, not in front of me, please. Don't behead each other. I can't take it. It's awful. You worked with Abe Vigoda. He was on Dark Shadows?
Yes, briefly. Like one or two. I don't know. One or two episodes. I can't remember. I worked with him, did a play called The Impossible Years with Sam Levine.
It was made into a movie with David Niven.
David Niven? Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, but Abe was in the production, and we toured the country. Yeah. And
is that so when that you got the Dark Shadows gig after that?
After that, yeah.
What do you think of the whole deal? Like, you're there, and you have to play this, like, silent ghost dude who's menacing, who wears more eye makeup than the late Tammy Faye Baker. Who is there? What did you think? And I have to say, you were dazzling in your frock coat, and I loved you. I loved your ascot. Very cute.
Yeah. You know, they made those costumes, or at least they made mine right there on the...
You should have taken it with you, silly boy.
Yes, I should have. And then my makeup person who came up with the mutton chops, Vinny Lascazo, Vincent, and he was terrific. And anyway...
Tell us your mutton chop story. You decided to grow your own mutton chops.
Yes, I thought. That was tough because you had to grow them under the...
Yeah, under the glue. So I don't really understand how that ever worked with him.
I had to eventually give it all up, I think.
You wore the fake ones again.
But those fake ones are so obvious, you know. Actually, they sort of became a sort of a trademark, you know, mutton chop.
They were, but you know, like I said, in those days, you know, with the hippies and all that stuff going on when you guys were at Dark Shadows.
Yeah.
Mutton chops were in, groovy sort of frock coats were in, sort of Sergeant Pepper, and all that stuff was in. But you, what was that like? Because I asked another person who lived through that, and she was only 22, but she was having an affair with a 40-year-old sex symbol. And it's a great, it's got to be a movie. I'm sure it's going to be. And... you know, it's kind of like it skips some people, you know, because it's not like at the Whiskey a Go-Go, taking drugs, doing this. You guys all seem sort of like in the straight-laced.
Well, I think probably for the most part we were. You know, the Electric Circus was downtown on 8th Street. You know, I did a lot of work down there.
What's the Electric Circus?
It was a nightclub. So there were a lot of places downtown, you know, that, you know, they were clubs where singers performed or whatever. And, but Dark Shadows, you know, it caught everybody, you know, when it really, whatever, took off or became such a... whatever you want to call it.
Whatever. It's still a phenomenon, David.
A phenomenon.
Because if you look at these shows, and I know I'm on Facebook, I want to get rid of my personal one and just wanted to keep my podcast pages, but I'm like irked. Yeah. And I can't get rid of my personal one. Plus, they already know everything because I had it all downloaded.
Yeah.
It's awful. It's awful. It's awful. I never put anyone on there that doesn't do it. But
Dark Shadows was very special.
It was.
I mean, it really was. And the friendships, the lifelong friendships that were made, the fans that
they're amazing.
I still remember some of them that they, you know, would stay outside and wait, and they were such loyal fans. I mean, all around the country.
All around the world, David. All around the world.
They're the ones that kept the show going. They were, I mean, to this day.
I know they do.
To this day.
Because I joined one that's closed, and I like it a lot, and I do point my things. And I did finally see you in regular frocks, sans mutton chops. And I was like, that's not the Quentin David I know. Bring him back to me. You
right.
You know, you were like, okay, I'm in this like 1969, 70s groovy.
No, I love the past.
I did never, too. Was that your favorite part?
I never
part?
Bought into the, to the,
I loved
part
you
of the story.
In 1895.
Yes.
When I first saw you talk, let me tell you.
And
Dave,
I think that's that was a high, that was a good part of the show.
I
that
think was it was the highlight
that was
the
good
of, the
time
show.
Of the show.
It was fabulous.
Yeah.
And John Carlin as your brother, sort of like, ooh, the prissy foo-foo-foo who went with the, what was their name that Nancy Barrett turned into people? Pansy Fay.
Yeah, Pansy Fay.
And then you danced with her and that whole thing.
Well, and we recorded that song for Mercury Records.
It's beautiful.
I want to dance with
oh,
you.
I loved it. I started
wanna
like
dance the whole night through.
I danced with my pillow. I was fabulous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was
know.
All right.
What about?
And all that was, huh?
You did. Did you do a song with, Barnabas, what's his name?
You mean Jonathan Frid?
Yeah.
We did a record together. I recited the words at that time. I didn't sing to Quentin's theme.
Right.
And Jonathan recorded some things. And it was a long, it was an LP, you know, the big LPs. And did real well. It had Jonathan, it had Barnabas and Quentin's photos on the cover of it.
Mr. Tiger Beat, Mr. 60 Magazine.
Oh, Mr. Tiger Beat.
So
Gloria,
did,
that was Gloria Stavers. Yeah.
Yeah, it
she
was
the
so
one that was
funny.
Responsible.
And you married Chip. How old were you guys when you got married?
Oh my God, honey. Yes. Like 21.
And you guys have been together all these years. Any tips?
All these years, yeah.
I got divorced. I don't have any tips for anybody.
No,
I'm divorced.
I have no tips. Have a great, you know, partner who is forgiving and kind and loving and never ever gave up on me.
She sounds fabulous. I would love to meet Chip and then tell her, I'm sorry, honey. He's mine in the next life.
Listen, I wouldn't have made it without her. I don't know that I'd be alive.
She's wonderful. I just love her and everything I've read about her. I'm like, this chick is amazing. And I really like her. And I like, you know, really.
But you would. She's still, you know, just I can't keep up with her.
Fun
know?
And feisty, and those are my kind of gals.
Oh,
I love
yeah.
this kind of chicks.
All of that.
All of it. So you guys went through, I was thinking about the 70s. You were also called to duty, right? To be at the draft board, right?
Oh, yes. But when I did there and was classified 1A, then the guy said to me that I had to take the physical in Roanoke, Virginia, because I was working at the Barter Theater down there at the time. And he said, we're not going to use you. You'll never be drafted. You've got too much education.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, and then probably didn't hurt. I mean, I wasn't looking, but the draft lady, I had one leg. Like I'd worn built-up shoes when I was, you know, all through those years.
Oh, sort of like a club footy kind of thing?
I know. Just one leg was shorter than the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But and the draft lady for my area in Morgantown lived across the street from me. I grew up with her. Actually delivered her paper, newspaper to her.
What a nice name.
Nellie, her name was Nellie Gall, and her husband was Dewey. And so that's, I don't know. And she said, David, they're not going to take you. You're too much education. So that was the end of that whatever dilemma.
But that whole thing, I'm thinking about the era you lived in and you were, and you know, you were a young adult, and it, you know, I'm reading something that you did a play in Cleveland, and there had been some horrible riot, and 43 people died. I never heard that.
It was the riot in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, and the first night we were there, they told us we couldn't. You know, to go straight to the hotel, which was the Howard Johnson's hotel. And so we went up there and spent a couple of nights up there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that was to, you know, at that time it was a tough area. And I toured even during the tour of the Impossible Years. We toured through we were back through Cleveland. And in Detroit, and in Detroit, we had troubles in Detroit, but fortunately, I never had anything, although there was an apartment building across the street when we lived in Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
up on the hill, like Euclid Heights, I think it was called, and there was an explosion there, one night.
How horrible.
And, yeah. But thank God. And I do know we had to be held in at the theater a couple of nights because of what was going on outside. But, you know, the audiences, they came. They never gave up on it. And the Cleveland Playhouse is the oldest playhouse in the country. And a lovely man named K. Elmo Lowe. God, he looked like a matinee idol. And his wife, she was an actress, and then their daughter, Sandra Lowe. And she and I later did a play together at the MacArthur Theater in Princeton. And I don't know, just they were lovely people, and I had a good time while I was there. My director was named Bill Woodman, William Woodman, and his ex still lives in New York City. Up on the Upper West Side. So that's it. And her name is Elizabeth, Liz Woodman, and we still keep in touch.
Nice. So you guys voted for Nixon, and you, I'm not beating you up for that. I'm just saying that you did. And funny thing you said was because West Virginia is patriotic, so you voted for Nixon, right?
Yeah.
Well, what did that mean?
Well, I don't know. We just always, you know, I never thought, I don't know. We just, we voted for him. He was, I don't know how to explain it other than we were strongly, we were blue collar families. Chippy's dad was a surgeon. But on the whole, and they grew up in the South. Her mother grew up in Louisiana. Mm-hmm. He grew up in Virginia. And that's the way we voted at that time. I think Barry Goldwater was the opponent, if I'm correct. I don't remember.
I think it was Hubert Humphrey.
Hubert Humphrey?
Because I remember that from years ago, because my mother was telling me about things, and I said, Ma, vote for Obama. They were Irish Catholics in Massachusetts, and they voted for John Kennedy. They voted for Ted Kennedy.
We all voted for Kennedy.
Certainly would have voted for Bobby Kennedy, but my father, you know, my mom said he always called him Tricky Dick, and he hated him.
Oh, Tricky Dick, yeah. But you see, that was, we were, I don't know. I just was so innocent back, but Definitely. You see, when Kennedy came through, we voted for Kennedy. Kennedy was huge in West Virginia because he helped out with the poverty program along with LBJ, you know. So we were all, you know, of that era. I love Jimmy Carter.
Oh, I loved him. You know what? He was too kind to be president. He was too moral. Truly, that was the thing. He was too moral and kind. Yeah. And he's still amazing. Do you see him? He's like 93 and still building habitats for humanity. Yep. God, he's an amazing man. I really like him.
Yep.
Anyway, like you said in things which made me look and go, and it's true because I'm a person who cries very easily. I'm incredibly sensitive. I hate anybody in pain. I hate animals in pain. I hate kids in pain. I hate people in pain. I hate, you know, anybody hurting and wilderness, whatever. That's me. My mother used to yell at me for that. Get over it, kid. The world's tough. And for like 10 years, I didn't cry. But now it's like Waterworks Deluxe. And I'm glad.
Right.
But, you know, I do another podcast. And I do two other podcasts. One with Donnie. And then I do another one that's woman-centric. But we have loads of male listeners because they like to know the other point of view, which we really like. Anyway, I did one. And we had this guy on who we would never have had on. And he did Trumpocalypse. And he also did the Babylon Code and all that junk. And he was very sweet and nice, but, like, you know, he heard us and he knows what we're about. And he came on. We didn't attack him. But what I chose, because I always choose a video, I chose Eve of Destruction. And I found it on YouTube, and it was so troubling.
I don't know that.
Geez, it's amazing. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
And if you look at it, people were like, some people complained and I saw it on YouTube. And I did badly because I should have said warning graphic. But I mean, people watch Saw, torture porn, and so many people look up beheadings on YouTube. And there's a lot of weird people in the world. This was not that. This showed the ugliness of war, and people want to turn away, but you can't.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
this is the reality, kids. It ain't, you know, ta-ra-ra-boom-dee. So, whatever, you know, looking away, just, I do look away from the starving children thing. I do look away from animals being abused. I do look away from things. Yet sometimes I think we just have to look. I'm trying to find, did you get, you saw that lovely Sandra Lynn Sandoval, she wrote your thing about Quentin's theme, and I'm going to put that on again. She wanted me to ask you the question, because I asked her, did you get the waltzing one with Michelle Sai sent it to you?
Yeah, whatever you sent, yeah.
Wasn't that great? I mean, it was just done this year. This is like Quentin's theme is eternal. I think that's so... But it is, David. Think about it.
You mean it's just not elevator music?
It ain't. It's beautiful. And so Sandra asked, she wanted to know if you liked... I know you liked her. Again, Joan Bennett. Was she kind to you? Did
Joan?
She offer you tits? Did she ever talk about classic Hollywood?
I think I've told a couple. Joan, again, she was terrific. I know it sounds like I'm repeating myself about various people. But Joan... you know, had her sisters, Constance Bennett.
I knew her. She died, though. Didn't she die prior to her doing that show?
I think so. And then there was another one. Her father was Richard Bennett, as
Is
I recall.
Is he an actor?
Yeah. He wanted them all to be actresses, but Joan never, at least she told me, she said, I didn't want to be an actress. She had the problem in Hollywood. And the reason besides Casablanca and all the other stuff that Humphrey Bogart wrote and, made, and the fact that starred in, and the fact that he loved Lauren Bacall, and, and I've always liked her.
She was beautiful.
Yeah.
Slinky cat.
Yeah. And they, Joan had a problem in Hollywood.
Scandal-a-Rooney, yeah.
A scandal-a-Rooney, okay. We also, you're aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Bogart that took up for her.
Good for him.
In fact, I think he hired her first. He said, anyway, Joan decided to leave and go home to New York. And if it hadn't been for her commitment to do a television show, Dark Shadows, I don't know that the show would have gone on. I don't know.
I don't see it, because she was such a strong, interesting character, and she was sort of the heart of the matter of the show.
Yeah.
She was there.
Yeah.
She was the lady there. And
exactly.
I thought she was fabulous.
Yeah. But anyway, years after we, get to know each other, a couple of years, during that time, because we worked together, close to every day, she invited me to dinner and chip up to dinner. Oh, yeah, I was just looking at the clock. I got to go.
Okay.
I've got to meet. But Joan invited us to dinner, and Louise Lasser, do you know who she was?
Yes, she was Mary Hartman.
Yeah, and Joan, there was something in the paper, and I can't recall what it was, but Joan said, you see, look at this. If this happened to me, today, no one would. If what happened to me happened today, no one would have paid any attention to it.
It's true.
But
they would have loved it. Okay, I know you have to go, but I have to do this for Michelle. Sai. Okay, we're doing fast ones. Cat or dog?
Cat or dog? I've had both. I have two dogs.
You
right
can't
now.
Chase chicks, so we'll say ball. We saw ducks. Football or baseball?
Baseball.
Sunrise, sunset?
Oh, sunrise.
Me too. Summer, winter?
I love winter.
Me too. It's my favorite time of the year.
But I'm out here in the summer all the time.
Wine, champagne?
Wine.
Last play you saw on Broadway?
Oh, my God. I don't know. Was it the Mark Rylance play? I don't know. It's been 2 years.
Are you guys going to come to New York? You have to see me. I'd love to meet you both.
Oh, yeah.
Will you come soon?
Probably late summer. Oh,
great.
Well, I'll be late summer because of my schedule.
Terrific.
I've got to go to D.C. and then going to Scotland and a few other places. And then I have a film to do in Minnesota.
What's that going to be about?
Oh, it's in a horror genre. I'm not sure yet. They haven't finished. Well, they finished one version. So we'll see.
Good for you, you handsome devil. And I remember you saying to your wife, I hope I'm as distinguished as Gregory Peck. And she said, you will be. Guess what? You are an even handsomer.
Gracie. I remember seeing Peck on the street in New York that last year, he and his wife. And he looked wonderful.
And
I got to meet him. I did get to meet him. So that was, I got to meet him during the film with Barbara.
Very cool. And you, my darling, are ageless, timeless. Yay. And I mean that. You know, you belong in another Oh, I wanted to ask you one quick. If you could go to another era, just let's say for 2 weeks instead of living there, where would you go?
I would have loved to have been out here during the 40s, the late 40s.
Me too. That's my time.
When my friend, Cesar Romero, called him Butch, when Cesar used to go to the Copacabana with everybody.
He was suave and fun.
And they all dressed. Cesar said, David, we all dressed.
Wasn't that fun? Y'all look like... And nice dress, heels.
Yeah, all of
gorgeous.
Those, you know. And anyway, but that's that era, and there were so many of them when I did the show.
You got to do
Falcon
so. That's
Crest,
fun.
I got to work with a lot of those, you know.
Okay, my dear.
All right.
Listen, I know you have to
next
go.
Next time. Okay.
Will you do it the next time with me?
Yeah.
Because I still have a lot
and
more
I promise
questions.
I'll be whatever.
You'll be whatever. What do you mean?
Yeah, I don't know. A little better. A little
you
better.
Were great. Are you but kidding? I love you. Thank
anyway,
you, David. You suave, handsome.
And I'm thankful. You know what I'm thankful to? God bless all the folks around that have continued to watch throughout the years.
And I have just started.
And the days.
Last year, I watched it, and now I'm onto your, like... new frocks and your hair. I'm not too crazy about it. But you're still damn cute, buddy.
I appreciate that.
Okay,
listen,
sweet.
There's a series I did on HBO a few years ago called Tell Me You Love Me. And it's only a part, but it's a great cast. And I did it with my dear friend, Jane Alexander.
Oh, and yeah. You said she's
Jane
your bud forever.
Jane and I have worked together for a lot. And so... That's a good one to watch.
Is that still there? Because I'll watch it because I have.
I think they stream it on HBO.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. All right, my dear. I am your historian, and I will be talking to you soon.
God bless.
And thank you. You were fabulous.
Okay.
You really were.
Thank you.
Thanks a million, David.
All right.
You too. Bye bye.
Bye bye.